Welcome to Wildlife Outdoors with your host, Russell and Jose. If you have a passion for conservation of the outdoors, or you're enjoying a calming hike in the mountains, an exhilarating kayak trip on the river, feeling a fish on the end of your line, cooking on an open flame in a primitive campsite, or stalking big game, just waiting for the perfect shot, you're in the right place. So put on your boots and polarized sunglasses and come along for the ride.
Well, welcome to the podcast. We have an episode today that we're going to cover something coming up at the beginning of June. So it's going to be a National Great Outdoors Month. Basically, it's going to be a month to where there's initiative for everybody to get outside, whether it's going to be hiking or kayaking, biking, fishing, hunting, whatever the case may be. This was created in 1998 by President Clinton. And it was basically just getting everybody outside. They've done, you know, numerous things nationally and tried to get governors on board with states. And as of today, I believe there's over half the states that have actually had proclamations to say that June is National Great Outdoors Month. Some states take some time to actually go and, you know, say this day is specifically for going trail hiking, and this day is specifically for doing community service, and this is a fishing derby and stuff like that. So this is kind of going to be a recognition of the month that is coming up. This episode is going to be posted prior to June 1st, but June 1st is the month that is going to start off National Great Outdoors Month. So what do you think about that, Jose?
Man, I think it's all, to be quite frank, I didn't even know there was a Great Outdoor Month. So I think it's pretty neat to have this national, I guess, movement to try and promote the outdoors and get people outside. I think that's pretty awesome.
I agree. And it's pretty cool because a lot of them tie into national and state parks. And so I think there's 60-something national parks, and then there's thousands of state parks throughout the nation. But gets people out, you know, and just doing a lot of things outdoors with the great weather. So it's typically the end of the rainy season and prior to the extremely hot season. So it's just a great time to be outside. In 2016, they actually created an act that was basically an initiative to see how people going outdoors and recreating actually affects the U.S. economy, which I thought was pretty interesting. So they created the Outdoor Recreation Jobs and Economic Impact Act of 2016. And it was pretty much analyzing the outdoor recreation economy of the U.S. So how many jobs were created, how much revenue goes back into the U.S. and stuff like that. And every year, there's an average of about $400 billion going into the U.S. economy just from the outdoors and state parks and national parks and, you know, fishing licenses and hunting licenses and anything that goes to pretty much outdoor and recreation feeding back into the U.S. And that's about 2.2% of the total U.S. GDP, gross domestic product, which I thought was pretty interesting. I didn't even think about trying to calculate that and see how it even goes into the economy financially, but it was pretty interesting. I thought that was pretty cool.
That is pretty interesting. I never would have even guessed.
Yes, sir. So I know that me and you have been on bunches of trips. I'm trying to think on, have we ever been to a state park together? I know that we planned on going to, what was it, Lost Maples or Lost Pines? Or, yeah. And that didn't work out.
Yeah. Dude, to be fair, you and I have planned for a lot of trips that just never worked out. That was one of them. But you and I don't know if you remember, I'm pretty sure you do. You and I went to Enchanted Rock that one summer. And we hiked up to the top. It was freaking miserable, man.
That's right.
As hell. And you could feel that heat. It was like, I think when we got there late. We got there around probably 11 or noon. And when we were about to start going up the trail, we saw some people who were walking out. They're like, yeah, before you go, make sure, like, there's like a water spigot. Like, I would recommend you wetting yourself down and filling up your water bottles because it's hot. So that's what we did. And then we started walking and man, you can feel that heat like radiating off the rocks. It was terrible, dude. And then, but once you got to the top, you have that, you could feel like the air rushing through and stuff. And I mean, it was beautiful. I think it was worth the hike. But now that I know how bad it was on that summer day, I probably wouldn't go during the summer. I'd probably go during the fall or the spring or something. But
right.
Yeah, I think that might be the only state park you and I have been to. I think. That's the only one that comes to mind anyway.
I think so. That trip was crazy. But that was also, what, August when we went? Man, because I remember it was just like before my house was completed. So my house was completed in October. Yeah. And so I want to say it was probably August.
It was August
and
or
when
July.
We went to the visitor center, didn't they say it was... Yeah, it was something like that. But I remember when we went to the visitor center, they said it was like calculated 118 degrees on the rock or something like that.
Standing temperature was triple. It was like 103 degrees, I think, that day. But then with the heat index and all that stuff, it was pushing. It was up there, dude. It was not comfortable.
It was still pretty fun though,
dude, and that was awesome.
Remember we chased that lizard down for how long? We were just chasing the lizard, trying to take pictures of it, and got some good pictures of it.
So to be fair, like that sounds kind of bad. We're like harassing this lizard, but we were trying to get photos of this little dude. He just wasn't cooperating, and we eventually did. And then it was so hot, we were like, I don't know. I think we were making our way down, and we had to crawl through some rocks, and we found a roadrunner just chilling in the shade because it was. I mean, dude, it was just brutal.
Yep.
And so we're like, man, that's not a bad idea.
It was crazy. He was standing out like the vultures do.
Wing spread, everything. You can see him panting and stuff. And so we kind of just chilled there too and caught our breath and relaxed a little bit before finishing the leg down. But yeah, that was a hot day, man. Oh, and you remember that little corner store, dude?
Yeah, the little general market or whatever it was, the little general store.
Yeah, dude. I can't remember the name of it. It was a cool little shop. I think we drank a beer there before we left too. But the dude who owns it was a pretty cool guy. He was just talking to us, whatever. Yeah, man, that little general store was pretty sweet.
Yeah. So for the listeners, we'll describe it. It was probably, what would you think, maybe 15, 20 feet wide and 10, 12 feet deep.
Yes.
Had, three or four shelves inside? And every shelf, like every product they had. So it was basically like a little convenience store. It had chips, water, had a little bit of alcohol, but it had like two or three of everything. Like it didn't have an extensive amount of anything, but they had a nice little selection for how small the building was. And the checkout counter was maybe the size of like a TV dinner tray table. It was tiny. But yeah, so they had they had some chips and Gatorades, waters, drinks, stuff like that. A few of them. It was pretty cool. But he was driving an old pickup truck, wasn't it? It was like an old Ford pickup truck from maybe the 60s or 70s. Out front. Nobody else in sight. It was awesome. It was a good time. And then I remember when we were leaving Enchanted Rock, we saw some elk in the field. And so we stopped and took some pictures of some elk. And then we went there and we talked to that guy, hung out, and then we got in the truck and it was a hot day, but it was a good day. It was a really relaxing day. We hiked. I don't even know how long the hike is to the top of Enchanted Rock. It's not very long though, but we hiked a little bit and got some good pictures, just hung out, had some good conversations, saw some wildlife, talked with this older gentleman at this little general store. It was awesome. And then we get in the truck leaving there and Great Day to Be Alive comes on the radio. It was just like the perfect way to wrap up the afternoon. Oh, it was awesome.
I forgot about that. It was like perfect timing. It was a good day. It was a great day. And that's the only time I've ever been to Enchanted Rock.
Yep. And I've only been once before also.
Yeah. Also, that was a cool trip.
But we also plan on going to what it was, Lost Maples, right? Or Lost Pines. Which one was it?
It was Lost Maples.
It was Lost Maples, and we were planning on going camping, I believe, out there. We're going to go primitive camping. We found a spot that it was 3 miles hike in before you could start camping from where you could drive. And we were looking at doing a completely primitive trip, and so we would have needed firewood and food and stuff like that. And we're going to backpack in 3 or 4 days, and just it was going to be awesome. And we looked at the weather report prior to going, like 2 weeks ahead. And the 10-day forecast, so I guess it would have been 10 days. 10-day forecast was showing that it was supposed to be good weather. Might get a little bit of rain. It was supposed to be in the 50s, a little windy, overcast, but nothing major. We're like, yeah, we could definitely, go and not have any issues. And then about 3 days before the trip, we look at the weather again, and it was going to get down to 28 degrees. It was like a 90% chance of rain, possible sleet and snow. And then we looked up the park, And you can't cut down firewood there. So anything you need to use, you have to carry in. And it just wasn't feasible. We were going to try to hike 3 miles with 3 or 4 days of firewood. I mean, it just didn't make sense. So we ended up canceling that trip. But that was a state park that we were going to go to. Obviously, with the temperatures and stuff, you can tell in Texas, it was wintertime. But that would have been awesome. That would have been a really good trip. We definitely need to, you know, recircle and try to do that one.
Yeah, we definitely do. That would have been a great trip. And I was looking forward to that one, man. But I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of glad that we didn't do it, because 3 days without like any kind of firewood or whatever would have sucked. We could have got like warmer sleeping bags and stuff like that. But I was in college at the time, didn't have the money to just go and like buy all the, you know, necessary equipment things. So I was really kind of banking on that, but you know, it just didn't happen. But I think it'd be awesome to go back and actually do it. You know, I think it'd be a lot of fun.
Most definitely. Especially like in the autumn time when all the leaves are changing, because there's a lot of maple trees and stuff like that.
Yes.
It would be awesome. Great for pictures also. Better weather.
Oh yeah. We need to make that happen at some point.
There's so many trips we need to make happen. What other state parks have you been to? I've been to like Galveston and Matagorda Bay and a lot of those along the Texas coast. Are any of those state parks?
Mustang Island.
I've been to Mustang Island quite a few times.
I have too. And then there's, I think, Goose Island State Park in Rockport. I think I've
been there. That's right. That's the one with that huge oak tree, isn't it?
Yes. I can't remember if it's the oldest or the largest or something like that, but there's something special about that oak tree. I can try and look it up really quick. But there's Goose Island. I want to say that I have been there. And then what else? I have been to the South Llano. Oh, dude, I love the South Llano State Park. It is awesome. Some friends and I, like 2 summers ago, we did a 7 or 8 mile float, and the state park was a takeout. And so, on that trip, we hadn't really got the chance to explore the park itself, but the water that runs through, it's just freaking gorgeous, man. And the South Llano River is a really, really cool little fishery. I got to explore the state park a little bit. Like, I think it was a few months beforehand. And, you know, my buddy and I, we walked in there we went there and for the sole purpose of fishing, did a little fishing there. And then most recently I went back, I think 2 or 3 months ago. No, sooner than that, maybe 2 months ago. Anyways, it doesn't matter. I was there recently. And, part of my research is doing stuff with birds, like specifically with their calls. So we have these like audio recording units that we have set out, and they record 2 hours every day. And we're trying to identify or get an idea of the bird community on my research area, right? On the research state. Well, yeah, on my study site. Sorry. And so I've been getting a little bit more into birding, and the South Llano State Park has like, I want to say it gets upwards of like 500 different species that have been identified there, like during migration and stuff. So my buddy and I were out there, and maybe, I don't know if it's 500 or 400, but it's quite a large number regardless. So we went out there and we hiked this one trail. We did a bit of birding out there, and it was really, really neat, man. South Llano State Park is beautiful. Highly recommend it to anybody who into birds or just hiking. I think it's really, really cool. The landscape is just so unique, and I think it's definitely worth checking out. So I've been to that one. Of course, Enchanted Rock. I've been to Pedernales State Park. I've been to, I think it was the Blanco State Park, Guadalupe State Park. Where else? I think that's it. Those are the only ones that have come that like immediately come to mind.
I see. So I don't know all the ones that I've been. I know I've been to Goose Island. There's some good fishing in Goose Island. There's some flats over there, and there's a little channel that goes under a bridge. And you can catch all sorts of reds and sheep's head, black drum, croakers, everything in that little channel. I've seen people catch a bunch of crab out there. I've seen a bunch of people catch flounder out there and stingrays and all sorts of stuff. That's a good fishing area out there. Nice. Up here in Arkansas, I've been to Pinnacle Mountain State Park. I've been to Petit Jean State Park. There's a few other places that I've been, like Sugarloaf Mountain and stuff like that. I'm not sure if any of those are state parks. But there's a lot of trails up here. Well, I've been to I live in Hot Springs National Park. So I've been to that national park.
Nice.
I don't know if I've been to any national parks, but there's a lot of places that I've been that probably might be state parks that I'm just not aware of. I go a lot of random places around here, so yeah, I've probably come across some of them. There's a lot of national forest around here too that I've stumbled into.
The Wachita,
going off creeks and hunting. Yep, Wachita, the Ouachita National Forest. So,
yeah,
better watch out for them Wachita boys up here.
And then the Buffalo National River.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah,
man, that place is awesome. We need to make another trip up there,
dude. We do this time with the right gear.
Oh, for sure. Right gear and hopefully right time of year when there's a little bit more water.
Now, so. We did get some really awesome photos of the night sky that trip. That was a great trip, man. Okay, so I have found some statistics of what they call the big tree down at Goose Island State Park. So, according to TPWD, the big tree at Goose Island State Park was named the state champion coastal live oak in 1966. Since then, it has been dethroned by the San Bernard Oak on the San Bernard National Wildlife Refuge, which occurred in 2003, the dethroning. And even so, the big tree is still regarded as one of the largest live oak trees in Texas and in the nation. And they even provide some big tree statistics. The trunk circumference is 35 feet, 1.75 inches. Or 10.71 meters. The average trunk diameter is 11 feet, 2.25 inches, or 3.41 meters. The crown spread is 89 feet, or 27.1 meters. The height is 44 feet, or 13.4 meters. The age, the exact age is unknown. However, they believe it to be centuries, plural, old. That's nuts.
That's insane. And it survived. It's crazy the amount of hurricanes it survived. I was worried about it when Hurricane Harvey came through. I was like, that's like right in the path. And apparently it's still standing, made it through that.
I mean, centuries. Imagine all the things that that tree has endured. I mean, if they could talk, the stories that they could tell, it is incredible.
Right, right.
Man, nature's freaking
that's awesome. Nuts.
It is. Or
it is.
Acorns.
It's acorns. Yeah, dude, there's a bunch of big trees over in that area, though. I have pictures of me when I was probably 15, 16 years old with my brothers climbing around on some of the trees because you can't climb on the actual big tree. They have it roped off, and I'm sure there's people that do climb it, but they have it roped off and you're not supposed to touch it and all that stuff. It's, you know, kind of protected, but there's other trees that are right next to it that are still massive live oaks. Cause live oaks typically aren't really big trees. It's not like they're redwoods in California or anything like that. They don't typically get that tall, typically get that big, and they're a very slow growing tree. But yeah, that's quite a large one.
I mean, the diameter, like, a basketball hoop is what, 10 feet? This thing is 11 feet in diameter. That's impressive.
Yeah. I do want to go to Redwoods National Forest National Park over in California, though, because I do want to see those really trees cool. That are hundreds of feet tall. They're so big that roads are literally built through the trees. You can drive through it.
Dude, that would be, yeah, I'd love to see those too. I also, so if we're talking about places we want to go, I really want to go to Big Bend National Park.
Dude, me too.
I have not been yet, and it's kind of sad being that I live in Texas, but I've not been yet. I really, really want to, dude. I really want to try and get some photos of the landscape and stuff too. it's just, I mean, it's incredible. I'm kind of, when I think about it, I'm kind of bummed that I've never really been, but everyone I've ever talked to who has been, I mean, they have nothing but good things to say about it. And I just really want to go. I need to make that trip happen. Hopefully if I can find some time in the fall when it's not so hot, I can, or in the spring when, you know, hopefully when the wildflowers start blooming, I think that'd be like ideal.
Dude, that would be awesome. Isn't there like four different kinds of landscapes there between mountainous and deserts and plains and all that stuff all within that national park?
Oh, I have no idea, man. I couldn't tell you, but one thing that is, I mean, because Texas is so large, the landscape is so diverse. So you have like the flat plains up north, you have the piney woods out east, you have the brush country, if you will, like the Tamaulipan thorn scrub or whatever in the south. Then you have the hill country, like in central Texas. And then you have the, I guess, like desertscape, if you will. I don't know how to better call it, out west. There's actually 11. I need to go back to the TPWD there's a few different eco regions in Texas. That's just a very like, general statement that I just made. There are actually like several different eco regions that comprise Texas. Let's see. I pulled it up now. This is coming from TPWD's website. So you have
the Texas Pioneers. Parks and Wildlife Department.
Yes. Sorry. Thank you. Texas Parks and Wildlife Department.
For those that don't know.
Yeah. So there is, it doesn't say. But anyway, so you have the piney woods, you have the Gulf prairies and marshes, the post oak savanna, blackland prairie, you have the cross timbers, South Texas plains, the Edwards Plateau, the rolling plains, the high plains, the Trans Pecos, and that's it. So, I mean, it's just so diverse. Each region is just so unique, and the flora and the fauna that kind of make it up. Well, there are some overlap, like white-tailed deer, they're freaking everywhere, but there is quite a bit of diversity in the flora and fauna as well. It's just, I mean, and that's one of the reasons why I love Texas, man. Like, it kind of sucks when you're trying to get out and you're driving, because it takes freaking forever to get anywhere, like to get out of the state. But
right,
it's also really cool because you can see those changes in the landscape. And I think that's often overlooked by, you know, your average person, but I think that's something that's really unique to the state. And I mean, well, my personal opinion, but something that's really unique and something that I think we should take great pride in. But yeah, man, I love it, dude. I love driving across the state. I travel a lot for like my research and stuff. So it's just really cool to kind of, to see the changes and things. I really enjoy it.
It is crazy. And then that trip that we made was like almost 12 hours to Angel Fire, New Mexico. We saw so many different things on the way. I mean, it was a while for Texas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it would have been 12 hours. Yeah, it would have been 12 hours if it was a straight shot. But I think with, you know, the amount of times that we stopped and to eat and all that stuff, it was probably closer to 14, 15. But, I mean, more than half of that, I would say probably 8 to 10 hours, was just getting out of Texas.
That's a state park we've been to.
Which one?
Eagle Nest State Park in Angel Fire, New Mexico.
Oh, dude, you're right. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, one. I forgot that was a state park. And that's actually also a state lake too, Eagle Nest State Lake.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's another one that we've been to. That trip was crazy, though. It was I left work up here in Arkansas, and drove 9 hours down to Texas. I slept for what, maybe 30 minutes?
Something,
an hour?
Something like that.
And dude, then we got back on the road because we're trying to leave at like 4 a.m. and I got there at like 3 a.m. or something.
And I heard you
got a little bit of rest, and then we got on the road again.
Yeah. And so I had to drive most of the trip because I was the only one who was able to, because of the rental agreement, until we were able to get other drivers put on the list, which we did that in New Mexico. But so I had to drive for the most part, and it sucked, dude, because it sucked for you, but you were planning on sleeping in the car anyway, so I don't know how the hell you managed to pull that off.
Yeah.
But I know you were exhausted, and so
I don't know why I couldn't sleep either. I know I slept on the way back.
Yeah,
but on the way there, I still didn't sleep.
Dude, it was, yeah, man. And then, so our, well, so we have a mutual friend named Matt, and he, or Mateo. And so he and I had gotten some food the night before we left, and it messed me up, man. And so, like, I was hurting and I couldn't sleep. I got maybe 2 hours of sleep. And so, luckily there were people up who were able to like talk to me, keep me, and I'm not proud of having driven under those conditions, you know, but I mean, I was loaded up on caffeine, man. And there was a point where we did have to like switch. my dad ended up taking over for a bit so I can get an hour or two of sleep. And then I finished the rest of the trip. We got there super late. And, It was crazy. When we left, it was dark. When we got there, it was dark. Like, we literally drove the whole time. It was a rough trip. Well, sorry. It was a rough getting there. Once we got there, and it was kind of cool because none of us really knew what the landscape looked like because we rolled in so late, and it was dark, man. Like, you know, you remember the episode of SpongeBob where there's dark and there's like advanced dark? I felt like we were in advanced dark, yeah. Dude. It was dark. And it was.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, man. It was almost like Arkansas, dude. Arkansas, for whatever reason, is super dark. At least when I've driven to visit you, you know. But anyways, so yeah. When we got there, it was like I said, we couldn't see anything. So, and we're all just tired from the trip. So we just unpacked and pretty much just chilled out the rest of the evening and went to bed. So the next morning we woke up and I woke up early. And so got some coffee and we went outside on the balcony. And then we were like, holy crap, dude. Like the sun coming up over the mountains. And we saw those, I think there were scrub jays hanging out in the yard, and I just sat there drinking my coffee, watching the sun come up over the mountains. I mean, I could not. That was one of the best cups of coffee I ever had, not because of the coffee, just because of where I was, dude. And when we got out, like everybody, and so it was like a big family trip. It was like my parents, my sister, her kids, and then a few of my friends, Russell being one of them. And it was just really neat to have everybody there. And we're all just like, for most of us, it was our first trip to New Mexico. So none of us really knew what to expect. And so when we actually got to go, like get out of the house and check it out, we're all just like bewildered, man. I mean, it was truly beautiful. It was amazing. And so we got to explore a little bit. We ended up going to Taos. And I love that little town, man. It was the architecture is really cool. The people are really nice. The food was good. The little fly shop that we visited was awesome. And super helpful.
It was Taos Fly Shop.
Yeah, man. They were super helpful. And they got us like set up with that was the other thing. We wanted to try and do some fly fishing. And so we got our licenses and all that stuff there. They gave us gave us some info on like what flies to use and things. And so some places to go because we didn't really have a lot of time to do some research and stuff, but we found a few places and we did catch some fish, which is really neat. And I mean, yeah, it was just unreal. I never like went to a place called the Palisades or whatever and caught a little rainbow trout. And it was just really neat because I released that trout and I looked up and you could just see this, like the Palisade, like rock face through the, like this super overgrown little creek. I mean, it was just unreal. I couldn't believe that I was able to fish in a place like that, man.
It's a river, bro. It's the Cimarron River.
Yes, but the place where we went to is called the Palisades.
At least, No, I'm talking about. You said it was a creek. You said it was a creek, but it's a river,
dude.
Remember there because we were so expecting this river. we looked up and we were so excited by all the fish that you could catch and the amount of trout they're supposed to be per square mile.
Dude, yes, you're right. Technically, it is a river, but it felt like a creek. I mean, I fished in creeks bigger than that, but it was.
It was horrible. I mean, it was great, but it was horrible.
Yeah, when we got there, like, how are we gonna fish in this? Because we were bringing like our 9-foot 5 weights and stuff, but realistically, we probably needed like 7-foot glass rods or something, just because casting around the trees and stuff was damn near impossible. Like, I couldn't even tell you how many times I accidentally hooked a branch or whatever. It was kind of rough, but it was, that was also kind of a part of the fun. It was made it challenging, but yeah, man, that little river, sorry, I almost called it a creek again. That little river was pretty cool. and then on the way out, we ended up passing the Rio Grande Gorge and we were like, holy crap, man. Like there was so much of that water looked so fishy, man. But the river, I mean, the flow was going. So I wouldn't even know how to like start fishing something like that. The trout fishing is just so outside of my realm. Like I would need to do a lot of research, talk to a lot of trout people, because I just have no idea. But I do want to go back. And actually I wanted to talk to you about this. So I actually have a friend who is moving to Taos for the summer to work at that fly shop. And he's like, yeah, man, if you want to ever come.
Really?
Yeah. He's like, yeah, dude, if you want to come up here for a few days, like I have my RV here. It can fit like 12 people. You can come here, crash here, do some fishing, whatever. I was like, you know what, man, I'll keep that in mind. So if you're down, I can talk with him and see if we can work something out. We can go to Taos and fish for a little bit.
Oh, hell yeah. And we need to make a trip out of it and go to Colorado too, because there's some places that I found in Colorado that would be amazing.
Yeah,
man. Dude, did you hear about that tornado in the Rockies?
No, I did not.
Dude, I saw it today. There was a tornado coming down on the mountaintop, and you see it, and then you see just all the snow being sucked up by it, and it's just moving across the top of the mountain. It was crazy. I don't know if it got towards any civilization or not, but just the videos of it looked eerie. It's just these thick, dark smoke, like dark storm clouds, and then you just see the funnel, and then you see the snow. It was crazy. It was pretty cool, though.
That's
it'd been something cool to see from a distance.
I gotta try and find that video, man. That's just, who, if somebody managed to get a photo of that's just epic, man.
Right. Well, I'm assuming that because the people that recorded it, the video quality was pretty good, and it was a distance away. So I wonder if they got any pictures of it. But yeah, dude, it would have been cool to get some good high quality pictures of it for sure.
That's wild. No, I did not hear about
it. But yeah, dude, we definitely need to make a trip up there.
Dude, yeah. And dude, we also need to go.
That would definitely be awesome.
We also need to go to Florida to fish with Brian.
We do.
Catch some peacocks. Oh,
there's so many places we need to go.
I know, man.
Go back up to Alaska, get on some char or some grayling.
So when you were in Alaska, did you ever go check out any state parks or national parks or anything?
I'm not sure. I know we went to Angel Rocks. I don't know if that's near a state. I'll look it up real quick. I don't know if that's near a state park or not. I know I've been to Denali in the past, but I didn't go this last trip up there. Let's see. Angel Rocks. It's a trailhead, hiking in Fairbanks North Star, Chena Hot Springs Road. So it doesn't look like it's a state park. Went to Tanana Lakes. I don't know if that's just a recreation area. I mean, I guess I could probably look up state parks in Alaska and see if I've been to them or if I went to any of them up there. Oh, Denali's a state park, not a national park. I thought it was national for some reason.
I thought so too.
I'm not seeing any Chena River State Recreation Area. I need to look at the range of that. I may have been there. But yeah, I'm not seeing any other ones that I would have been near.
Dude, you know
what? Actually, where did I go? When I went out with my uncle.
Where you caught the pike?
No, that was actually, believe it or not, a pond. We're just catching a bunch of, well, I was catching a bunch of northern pike in this little pond. When I went out with my uncle, we went out on the boat. And did I ever show you the pictures of the seagull attacking the bald eagle?
No. You did not.
Yeah, I got a picture of that.
Oh, bro.
It was couple hours outside of Fairbanks. Go on.
I remember two other parks that I've been to here in Texas. One would be actually three, McKinney Falls State Park. actually for Bastrop State Park.
I've been there.
Choke Canyon State Park.
Never been there.
And then Falcon Lake State Park. And then one park, well, it's not really a park. It's a state natural area. But one place you and I have been talking about going to for forever is the Devil's River State Natural Area.
Dude, I want to go to the Devil's so bad.
Oh, dude, I know. We got to make that trip happen too. But it's just so like logistically taxing to plan. There's just so many small parts and details that you have to take into consideration to like have a safe trip. In a successful trip.
Exactly. So Denali is also a national park, but they have it listed as a state park and then a national park further down. So, but yeah, I don't think I went to Chena River State Recreation Area. It's a little east of Fairbanks, northeast of North Pole.
Wait, there's a place called North
Pole? I don't think I went to a state park when I was up there. Yeah, there's a little town called North Pole up there. It's awesome.
No way.
I want to take my kids up there in the wintertime because they have Santa Claus house up there. And so, of course, they have all the caribou or reindeer. They have dog sled poles and like they'll like have like competitions on whose dog can pull more. They have the whole thing up there. And there's a place called the Naughty Shop, and it's naughty like K-N-O-T, not like knots in a tree. And there's this kind of wood up there. I don't know what tree it is, but it has this real interesting design on it, and they make all sorts of woodcrafts out of it and stuff. And there's a lot of real interesting stuff up there in North Pole.
That actually sounds really
it's a good awesome, place to go man. In the wintertime.
Yeah, for sure.
It is. Dude, that's something we need to make a trip up there too and go get on some Northerns and some char and grayling and go just that would be a great place to go primitive camping for sure. But you have to be an outdoorsman for that one. We'd have to do our research for sure.
Dude, there's so many places you and I have talked about going. We just haven't for obvious reasons. It's either because we don't have time or we don't have money or both. It's just been tough. But for sure, man, we need to make some of this stuff happen.
For sure.
I'm gonna try and do a bit more. Well, so again, since I didn't know June was Great Outdoor Month, I'm going to try and make it an effort to actually spend more time outdoors, where, you know, whether it's fishing or hiking or even just taking my camera out and trying to get some photos. Like, I just need to spend more time outside, man. I mean, I spend so much time indoors on my computer working or whatever.
After football season, we should try to hit Big Bend.
When does your football season end?
It depends. So this Saturday, we have our last regular season game, and then we already have a playoff berth. So it depends on playoffs. I believe playoffs start May 20th, right? Or what's today? Today's the 11th.
The 11th.
Okay, yeah. So something like that. End of May is when the playoffs start. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes, and hopefully we continue on. But after football season's over, maybe I can make a trip down there, and we can go hit up Big Bend or something like that. That'd be awesome.
We also need to get you on the coast and try and catch some reds, man.
Dude, we need to for sure. Hit up Marco and get down
they
there.
They may not be the caliber you guys are catching down in Venice, but... but they'll be fun.
A red is a red, and a red from a kayak would be awesome too.
Dude, I've been itching to get down to the coast, bro. Like that's oh man, I don't even know. I can't even describe it to you. Like that's just the only thing. Whoa, there's two things on my mind when it comes to fishing that like I need to scratch an itch. I need to scratch one, carp on the fly. Two, redfish. On the coast or black drum. I would love to catch a big, like a big ugly, as they call them, a big old black drum and the sheep's head. I've never caught a sheep's head. Those things are freaking skittish.
I've always wanted to catch a sheep's head too. You know what would be fun to catch?
What's that?
A Jack Crevel on a fly rod.
Off the jetties?
Off the jetty? Dude, that would be awesome.
Man, so there's a guy. I saw his YouTube channel. He actually lives in Arkansas. He's got a tattoo shop, and I don't know if he has a tattoo shop in Arkansas. He might, but I know he's from there, I believe. But he came down to Texas one day, and he found out that you can catch sheep's head by nymphing. So
really,
yeah, man. So what he would do is he would get like, if I'm not mistaken, he would get like those white, like little marabou jigs that you can get from like at like Walmart or whatever, but a really, really light one that you can cast with a fly rod. He would put it under a strike indicator, AKA a bobber. And, and he would wait for like a somewhat windy day, a day that's windy enough to get the waves going, but not so windy that it was like impossible to cast, because the little indicator would bob up and down with the waves and therefore apply action to the little marabou jig underneath. So it looked like it's kind of swimming. Mm-hmm. And he would fish around rocks where the sheep's head hang out. And apparently it drove the sheep's head nuts. Like he caught a ton of sheep's head and, using that technique.
That's awesome.
I don't know. No offense. Like, I don't know how I feel about catching sheep's head like that. I feel in the way it's kind of like cheating, but
right,
you know, if worse comes to worse and like it's our last day and I want a sheep's head, I don't care, dude. I'm doing it. I'm gonna try it.
I agree. At least to get them figured out and then maybe take off the training wheels and try to catch them on a actual fly.
Yeah.
But dude, that would be awesome. So I remember I talked to you about a fly fishing tournament on the Kings River a couple podcasts ago.
Was that for smallmouth?
Yes. Kayak fly only smallmouth tournament. It's the first annual Kings River smallmouth shootout sponsored by McClellan's. It is June 24th. Location, okay. Kings River Outfitters in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, where Matt lives.
Oh, Jones.
Yep. Interesting. Old Johnson. So that would be something we could possibly do.
What day did you say it was?
Saturday, June 24th.
Oh, and it's a Saturday.
Yeah.
Dude, I might be able to make that work. Would you be down?
Oh, hell yeah.
Is there an entrance fee or buy-in fee or whatever?
100 per
registration
team.
Registration. Sorry.
Registration cost is 100 per team or 50 per person. Team entry recommended. Gear participants will need to provide their own gear. Boat canoes can be rented through the outfitter. Additional details: there will be two brackets, one fly. Everyone begins their day in the one fly bracket. When an angler loses their fly, they can no longer count fish length towards their one fly score. Consolation bracket: upon losing their chosen one fly, an angler must use any fly they have. At this point, the team's one fly score is final. The team will then begin a new score for the consolation bracket. Score is an aggregate of the length of the top four fish for the team. If the boat's biggest four fish are 16, 15, 14 and a half, and 14, the team will score 59.5. Fish will need to be photographed in the water with a clear photo of the measurement. Your fishing partner will probably have to take the picture for you. Top teams in each brackets will win amazing prizes. Hmm. So, pictures in the water, that'll be difficult. So I wonder if we go with our kayaks, if we could still be on a team since we're on different watercraft.
Oh yeah.
I'll need to look into that. Cause I don't know about fly fishing in a canoe if we had to rent
one. We'd have to be real careful about that one. Or a raft. You think Evan could let us borrow a raft?
Dude, that would be awesome. Oh, I don't know if Hal's going to be there, but if Hal's not going to be there, he has a raft. That's something to definitely look into. But yeah, that would be awesome.
Dude, but even if we don't do the tournament, I would still love to go and just go fish, man.
Right, right. And the Kings River is up north towards Missouri. It's the section that goes through Arkansas is undammed, very similar to the Buffalo. So good smallmouth area. Or the Upper Cossetot up towards Oklahoma. I've heard there's good smallmouth in there.
Yeah, I wouldn't even mind going back to the
Buffalo.
Maybe try a different stretch, but
yeah,
That'd be.
I know that I was recently reading something on Facebook that where we put in at Tyler Bend, somebody was talking about that's where they took out. And so they started a few miles up, and they said it was a really nice float, and they hit some good holes. So, yeah. But I think it's pretty high right now. We've been having storms for the past week, but
because there were two things about that trip that made fishing hard. One, the water depth, like it was super deep, and we didn't really have the right equipment. Well, not necessarily the equipment, but the gear. So,
sink tip,
the line specifically, yeah. So that was thing number one. Thing number two was the wind, man. The wind was redonkulous, bro.
It was
frustrating,
to say the least.
But it was aside from those things, it was pretty cool.
I agree.
Caught my first small jaw that weekend,
and then also close to a new moon. Because I think the new moon. Oh no, the new moon in May is on the 19th, so it would be close to. There would be very little light pollution at night from the moon. Actually, no, it'd probably be a quarter moon, but still less light pollution than a full moon. So the fish would probably not be feeding as much at night, less nighttime light. So, probably be a good time for sure. Hopefully, more aggressive takes.
And I know Marco. Yeah. And I know Marco was like, dude, if you end up going to Arkansas, let me know, bro. I'll go with you. I was like, all right. So I know he'd be down to go.
That would be awesome. I haven't seen him in a while. I think last time I saw him, he was actually up here.
Yeah, I might go fish with him on Saturday we're going to try and find some carp actually at the Pernell State Park, since we're talking about state parks.
Dude, that's awesome. Yeah,
so we'll see, man.
The carp out here by my place are gone. Unfortunately, they had their last hurrah. Yeah. I think it was, I was on a conference call. And I came over here to, I have a dash camera that keeps, I can't keep it suctioned. I have to have it in my truck and I can't keep it suctioned on the windshield. And so I came over here on my lunch break and I was on a conference call or a webinar, and I came to get my daughter's hot glue gun to try to hot glue it to the windshield, and it didn't work. But, while I was heating it up on my inverter in my truck, I was sitting here right by my place looking at the lake, and the carp were going crazy, chasing each other. And I saw that black, what I believe is a butterfly koi fish, the one that I sent you. I saw it out there. I saw a couple other koi and just a bunch of carp going crazy, splashing up like no other right along the bank. And I haven't seen them since that day. So got their last hurrah, and I think they moved on out. So. Unfortunately, didn't get a carp this year right out here, but there's still places I can go try to get them. So. Yes, sir. Nice. Yes, sir.
Yeah, dude. That I don't know why they like that little area behind your house, but
they're back here in hordes.
I mean, they just pile up in there, man. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's wild. I mean, some big, like massive carp too, dude.
Yeah.
Like it's I don't know what it is. I don't know. Yeah, I have no idea, bro, but they love it. And I'm okay with that because we got to try and fish for
them. Right. That, and it's weird because they're with gar too.
Yes. And it kind of sucks because if you miss that window, like, I don't know where they go.
Right.
They have the entire lake.
Exactly.
They just disappear.
And like Lake Hamilton is quite large.
2 week window, maybe.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
And
so it just so happened that one day you and I caught fish, like we just happened to both be there at the same time. And we just capitalized.
Stars aligned and it worked out.
Luck also.
Yep. So yeah.
And because fishing there is really tough just with the vegetation and stuff, man. I kept getting hung up on like everything.
Yeah, that's the issue, is the vegetation. It grows up so fast in the springtime, and you can't. Maybe that's what attracts them in. It's a good breeding ground. I'm not sure because there's a bunch of gar too. But I started this year. I actually waited. I was like, I'm just gonna wait out there. Throw on my waders, go up about waist deep, and cast out where I could see them. Sight cast them. Well, really sight casting dust clouds. And I had one turn, and when I get excited, I trout set. And I pulled the fly right out of its mouth. I landed it probably a couple inches from its face, and it turned, and I waited a half a second, and I trout set. And So didn't get the hook set on that one. I hooked up on one, and about 10 seconds it got off. I hooked a gar, but couldn't get it, couldn't land it. That's one thing I've never been able to land a gar. And then that black fish, same. I've cast it out a little bit. I don't know if it turned on my fly. I don't know if I hit it with my fly and it turned, but my fly hit the water, that black fish turned, and then it left. So it was, that would have been a cool one to catch. But, and then one day I saw it and it was actually feeding. I sent you the video of it. It was actually feeding. And I'd already put my fly gear up.
That would have been a good time.
Dude, it would have. So I'd already put my fly gear up because I'd been out there fishing for about an hour. And I was like, it was already getting dark. Sun was going down. I was like, let me just walk around the edge. And I'd already taken my fly off and collapsed my pole down. And then I see it. And I was like, And so I took a video of it real quick, sent it to you. Put my fly rod back together, threw a fly on, turned around. Like, and I had all my stuff right there. So I turned around, put it on, turned around, and it was gone. I couldn't find it. And then these two little kids were walking around out there, and that they were talking sucks. To me about fishing. And I was like, if you see a black fish around here, let me know. And they couldn't find the fish. I couldn't find the fish. I have no clue where it went. And I was like, ah. Oh.
Like ghosts.
Yep. And I haven't seen it since.
That sucks, dude. That's crazy because the last time that I was there, well, I don't remember seeing a black one. There was a really big tricolored mm-hmm. one, I think. I mean, that thing had to have been, I don't know, man, probably pushing 30 inches. Yeah. It was big, if not more. And then there was the one that I caught that like golden black.
Yeah, then there was the white butterfly. One.
There was that white one, and there was another orange one.
The bright orange one, yeah. And those were all here so far that I've seen this year. But then this black one, it was real. I've never seen it before, but it's probably bigger than the tricolored one you saw. I mean, it's probably almost as long as my arm. It's massive, but its tail is real wispy and white. So it's all black, and then it has a wispy white tail. It's crazy.
That would have been a cool one to catch.
Dude, I hope it comes back next year because I want to catch it just to see what, like, I'm assuming it's a koi. I don't know what it is.
I mean, I don't think it's a carp. At least from the video you showed me, it has to be a koi, I would think.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of koi, but it has to be a koi.
Right, right. So they do a thing here in Arkansas. I don't know if I've told you about it, where they tag fish. And they release, I think it's like 60, 70-something fish between Lake Hamilton and Lake Catherine. And the ones that are tagged are worth money. And so, So they have a fish that they name Big Al. And it's a different fish, different species of fish. And this year, that fish is worth $20,000 if you catch it.
Holy crap, dude. Do you know what kind of fish Big Al is?
No. Nope. It's been a catfish. It's been a bass in the past. It's been a brim.
So the name stays the same.
The fish stays. It changes. Yes. So you don't know what you're fishing for. So it's kind of like a surprise. Like, oh, I caught a tag fish. Wait, it's Big Al, dude. That would be so cool to catch a $20,000 fish.
A cool $20,000 in your pocket for catching a fish. Man,
dude. And then the other ones range from $500, $1,000, and then $5,000. There's one $10,000 fish and one $20,000 fish.
So and they don't tell you what they
crazy.
Are.
And then, no, they don't tell you what they are. It's kind of luck of the draw. And then there's another, like, I don't remember what weekend it is, but there's a weekend, I want to say it's the end of June, that is free fishing weekend. And on that weekend, all the $500 fish are $1,000 fish. So it doubles the cost or doubles the price of it if you catch it on that fish free weekend.
That's pretty cool. I remember.
Yeah. So that's hopefully going to get a lot of people out on the water.
Dude, I want to go fishing now. But, and then I know, I mean, here in Texas, like they do the star tournament with the CCA, where if you catch a tag redfish, you can win. I forget how much the money is. And you get like this truck and boat package and all that stuff. They give away scholarships, all kinds of stuff, man. And then there's other, and then like, it's a big tournament. And so they have like different brackets and stuff like that. And there's prizes depending on where you place, but it's really cool. But, I guess the the prize, like the grand prize, if you will, is catching a tagged redfish. Because if you do that, like I said, you get a truck and boat package worth like easily probably over $100,000. And then so they do that. And then like a couple years ago, I don't know if it's a regular thing, but I remember seeing that a couple years ago, Texas Parks and Wildlife had tagged some Guadalupe bass and released them. Mm-hmm. And if you caught one, you won a prize, but I can't remember what the prize was. Me and my roommate were thinking about trying to go and find, we're trying to catch tag guads. We never did. I think he actually went one time, but I never did go. But I think it's really cool.
I love
cool
catching that, guads.
Oh man, for their size, they are super feisty and they fight hard, man. Like I and the patterns are beautiful. I love catching guads. One of my favorite freshwater fish here in Texas.
But, I agree. They are pretty fun.
They are, dude. And but yeah, man, I think it's really cool when parks or when natural resource agencies tries and figure out ways to get people involved, but also like give back to them, like you know, Big Owl, for instance, that's one thing. And I know I'm certain other states have their own ways too, but I think that's really neat. And I know in Texas they also do something called free. I forgot what it is, like. Net, like statewide, like Fish Day or something. I can't remember the exact title, but for that, I think it's for that one day, everybody can go fishing without a license. And it's probably like the best time to get out there and go, especially if like if you've thought about fishing, but don't want to pay for a fishing license, you don't know if you're going to like it. That's probably the best time.
Exactly. And I wonder how many people have actually like gotten into the sport of fishing from that day. Whether it be their parents take them when they're a kid or as an adult, they just want to try it. Like, I wonder if there's any statistics that shows. Well, I mean, you don't have to register to do it, so I don't know if there would be a way. But that would be pretty interesting just to know how many people have gotten into the sport based solely on going out on a free fishing day.
Dude, that would be really interesting. But, yeah, I don't know how one could come up with the data for that if there's no need to buy a license or to register or something like that. I don't know.
Exactly. Interesting. But yeah, pretty cool that when they do stuff like that to actually get people going out there. And it all just kind of ties back into, you know, the subject of this episode is just get out there, especially in the month of June. It's going to be a good month to do it. Good weather. Rain's going to stop. Yep. It's not going to be, you know, as hot as July and August. So it's a great time to go explore, hike, bike, kayak, swim, fish, hunt, whatever floats your boat. it's a good month. It's a good month to do it. Pun intended.
But yeah, man, you know, get outside, go explore, go have fun, take the kids, your significant other, whatever. Just go and support your fish and game agencies and conservation stuff and have a good time doing it. If there's ever a better time to do it, probably now in Great Outdoor Month.
Exactly. And it's giving back to the local agencies and giving yourself some peace of mind and some time to relax and kind of just bond with nature. So not really seeing a negative there. As long as you do it responsibly and carefully. And another thing you can do is anytime you see a piece of trash, just pick it up. If everybody picks up one piece of trash, it'll make a world of difference.
Yeah, for sure. I need to get better about doing that, man. I need to keep a little trash bag in my fishing pack.
Right. It's crazy with how the parks are here in Arkansas. There's trails, but there's more trash cans than I've seen in a lot of other areas. Which is a good thing, but it's crazy because it'll be this completely remote area off of a road that you didn't even know there was anything to go down. For instance, I went to White Rock Mountain and I was like, I have to be going the wrong way, like driving through mud puddles and, dirt roads that I'm like having to go up on rocks to drive over just to continue on the same road. On the passenger side of my truck, the other side's, you know, would drop off straight to a creek. And I'm like, this doesn't look like a road that's going to, you know, a known area. And then you get up there and there's restrooms and trash cans everywhere and labeled trails. And it's crazy. It's just kind of way off the beaten path, but bam, you get there and you know, there's trash cans and everything. And it makes it real easy to keep the place nice. So I think there's even cabins and campsites up there. It was pretty cool. So pretty cool stuff.
Our Texas Parks and Wildlife does a really good job of keeping the parks clean, I think. It's just, you know, the more like publicly accessible location. Well, that's not the correct list, but anything that's essentially not a state park, they're generally like not that clean, especially in more urbanized areas or places that are like easily accessible. I've seen a lot of trash and it's actually, so there's this thing called the Loco Trash Bash, and they go and they clean up the Colorado River and they give prizes for whoever cleans up the most. I think they go by weight. And then at the end of the day, when it's all wrapped up, they have this big party. And I think that's really, really neat, man. I'm going to try and participate this coming year if I can.
Dude, that's awesome. I used to do that over at Don's Fish Camp on the San Marcos River. And we used to go and do river cleanups up there and stuff like that.
Nice. Yep.
I haven't been over there. Forever.
Used to go there all
I used to love
time,
going to Don's. Yeah. I basically lived there.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, that was a good place. But yeah, we used to go and do a lot of river cleanup over there, pick up a lot of trash, take kayaks and tubes. And they would let us take tubes that had bottoms in them, and we would just fill them full of trash. And it was nice because we'd still get to float the river. The river's what is it, 72 degrees year round?
Something like that.
Water is, you know, it's not super cold, but it's refreshing. When it's hot outside, you go, you pick up some trash, kind of a win-win situation. So,
oh, for sure.
Some good stuff.
Yeah, man.
But we're coming up on an hour and 20 minutes. So,
any ending notes? Anything you want to discuss or?
Just y'all get out there and get to it. actually, so have you been listening to Honey Hole Hangout?
I haven't listened to their most recent episode, I don't think.
So I don't know if it was their most recent one or if it was prior to that, but they were talking about. Or maybe it might have been Wildfly Podcast. It was one of the two, but they were talking about, I guess it would have been Wildfly, and they were talking about a trip that they made, and it was Wildfly because it was their bull trout trip they were talking about. Mm. And they were talking about this this guy that they met at one of the checkpoints where they would inspect their boats for zebra mussels and stuff like that, ask where they're going, where they've been, so on and so forth. And so they were at this watercraft checkpoint, and they said it was this big mountain man missing a couple teeth, big burly guy. And before they left, like, he asked where they were going, and they said the guy was super friendly and said, oh, I've been there, or I'm going there, or something along those lines. And he said that it was just this, he said it with his chest. He's like, get after it. And they all said they felt it, like, and so anytime that it was raining or the weather wasn't good or they weren't catching anything, that they always referred back to get after it. And so when I just said that, it just kind of reminded me of that. But yeah, you should definitely go check out that episode. Yeah. It was hilarious the way they explained it, and they have a scale on how redneck somebody is and stuff like that. It's pretty funny.
Oh man, that was a good episode. Yeah, I want to check that one out. That's hilarious.
But yeah, I'd say that'd be my ending notes. Just get after it. What about you?
Pretty much the same, man. I mean, it's a get outdoor month. Spend your time outside. Whatever you enjoy doing, go and do it. And, you know, take some friends. Spread the love. You know, introduce some new people to things that you like and to the great outdoors. And who knows, man, maybe we can get more people involved and help raise more money for like conservation, stuff like that. And the more people that we get involved with all this, the better.
Exactly. And then on top of that, if you can come follow us, we have our Instagram, we have our Facebook. I have a link tree posted on both of those that will take you to all of our podcasts. So you can go find them on whatever platform. I know I'm posting links on my social. So if you found us that way, if you go to our link tree, there might be an easier way for you to actually follow along with us. But yeah, go like our socials and share and have your friends join and tell us if there's anything that we're not doing well enough or anything we can do better or something that you enjoy. We'll take any feedback you got.
Speaking of, if you have any shots or stories about how you are planning or how you are going to be spending time outside, you know, tag it. I don't know if we have a hashtag or not, but send them to us and maybe we can share that and share your experiences and then what you guys got going on. We'd love to see it.
We do not have a hashtag, but there is actually two hashtags for Great Outdoors Month. So one of them is hashtag escape the indoors and the other one is hashtag find your park. So those are both ones that have been used by states and national to be used during National Great Outdoors Month. So feel free to use those and yeah, tag us in it. And we'd love to see where you guys are going.
This has been Wildlife Outdoors. Thanks for listening. Follow us on Facebook at Wildlife Outdoors and on Instagram at wild.life.outdoors. Let's go live life on the wild side.